Hello, good morning, everyone. I hope you're doing well this morning. We want to continue on studying Job. So let's turn to Job chapter 23. It'll be Job's response to his friend Eliphaz. So let's read this, Job chapter 23. Then Job replied, "Even today my complaint is rebellion. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me. Would he contend with me by the greatness of his power? No, surely he would pay attention to me. There the upright would reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns to the right, I cannot see him. But he knows the way I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot is held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I treasure the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unique, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such decrees are with him. Therefore, I would be dismayed at his presence when I consider I am terrified of him. It is God who has made my heart faint, and the Almighty who has dismayed me. But I am not silenced by the darkness, nor deep gloom which covers me." Amen. Amen. And so, again, this is Job responding to Eliphaz. I'm going to break it up into about four different sections. And so we're going to go from verse 1 through 7. Now, first off, this is really the heart of this and in Job's bitter complaint and primarily, the complaint is his inability to connect with God. This is, like I said, this is what's hurting him more than anything else. This is what his friends can't understand, that what's going on with him right now is so deeply grieving, not so much that he lost everything, but that he just cannot connect with God. And so he starts at verse 2, and it says, "Even today, my complaint is rebellion." Remember, at the close of Eliphaz's speech, Job continued to feel desperate. The wisdom and counsel that Eliphaz and the others were offering was of no relief to him. It just made his mental and spiritual agony even more worse, and he's expressing that. And verse 3, it gets kind of the key to this chapter. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." This is the cry of his heart. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." Job felt separated from God. Obviously, this was not the first crisis of his life. Of course, he's had other ones, but this is far beyond any other crisis he's gone through. And in other times, he could find comfort, he could find rest, he could find God's presence in his voice. But in this catastrophe, in this time, he could not find God. And this is what really messed him up more than anything else. There is a particular scholar who said that in a way that Job becomes a kind of like a type of Christ. And in a much lesser sense, obviously, Job experiences what Jesus did on the cross. Which is basically a man that had so much favor with God, that had so much incredible fellowship with God, like Jesus and like Job previously, but now totally feels forsaken. Jesus expresses that, my God, why have you forsaken me? Quoting Psalm 22:1, and Job finds himself in that place. The thing that's so grieving to Job is when there was any crisis, God would be there. He would go through anything and God would be there. And he was so comforted by the presence of God. He was so comforted to know that God was with him. And so he can endure any kind of crisis. Now, this is the first time that he goes through this, and just the wrenching of his heart. Now, I haven't experienced anything to the depth of Job, or obviously to Jesus. I mean, this is so minuscule. But I too can remember one of the first times when I became a Christian in college, and it seemed like any prayer was not too big for the Lord. I mean, I if I needed anything, God would always come through, and sometimes even supernaturally through dreams and words that I would get from other people. And I mean, it was such a incredible time. And then now I had like kind of the biggest decision I needed to make, which was basically forego coming to Hong Kong. I was still doing rehab on my knee, and this church asked me to become their youth pastor. But, you know, I wanted to do missions. And it just really gut-wrenching time. A lot of things were going on with my family. And I would pray, and God would not answer me. He did not speak to me. And it was kind of like shocking, like, oh, what's going on? You know, like before, whenever I would pray, God would supernaturally answer me so quickly, and I could just feel the closeness of God in my life. And for the first time, I would pray, and I would just hear silence. And it was confusing. I didn't know what to do. I do remember I needed to make a decision Thursday morning. And so we had Wednesday night service at our church. And I went Wednesday night service, and I was hoping that the pastor would say something during the sermon, but nothing happened. And then afterwards, I remember when the service was over, I just went up to the altar, and I remember just lying face down before the Lord, is banging on the hardwood floors of the church, and saying, "God, where are you?" And I think I was bawling. I was just weeping. And again, nothing near what went on through Job or Jesus, but I kind of understand Job's crisis. I kind of understand his heart. This verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Just the anguish of his soul in that way. I mean, kind of cool story. The next day, I actually, what I felt like God just asked me to take a step of faith. And so that's why he didn't speak to me. He wanted me to jump. And so Thursday morning I did. I jumped, and I told the church, yes, I will do this. And then that night I went to service, my college group at the Newport Vineyard. And I got an incredible prophetic word from the pastor there. And it was really confirming of what God wanted to do. You know, sometimes confirmations come after obedience. And this was definitely my case in this time. But I mean, it was just amazing. Job feels in a way, he's a type of Christ. He felt what Jesus felt. Someone who had so much favor, but now felt forsaken. And this is the greatest source of torment in Job's life during this time. And then he turns to him in verse 4, and he says, "Oh, I would present my case before him." And now he goes into the motif becomes a trial. And Job, you could tell Job didn't want just the sense of the presence of God for the sake of spiritual comfort. He wanted to be vindicated in the court of God, especially in the face of accusations of his friends. This is, in a way, Job's courageous honesty. He wants to come face to face with God, not necessarily in repentance, but in a fair trial. In a way, another scholar says he wants to sue God for defamation. But it's this confidence that he has still. Verse 5 through 7, he says, "I would learn the words which he would answer." And in the end, he says, "I would be delivered forever for my judge." Job's conscience assured him that he would find mercy and favor at the throne of God. Remember, his friends insisted that God was against Job in his sufferings, but Job stubbornly clung to his innocence. He says, no, I know I am innocent in this place. And so he clings to his innocence. And he knows that he, because he's got this confidence. He knows that the judge, that he will be delivered by the great judge. And then we go to verse 8 and 9, and Job steps into a little bit more clarity. He confesses his understanding or his lack of understanding and his need of divine revelation. In verse 8, he says, I go forward, I go backward, I go left, I go right, and in all these places, but I cannot see him. Job insisted that he sought God in the midst of his crisis. He looked every direction. This is a heart that is really longing for God. He's going front, he's going back, he's going left, he's going right. In other words, he went everywhere. But he realizes in verse 9, and he says, I cannot behold him. He turns to the right, and I cannot see him. No matter how sincerely and how diligently Job looked, he could not find God. God remained hidden through a barrier that he could not pierce in this way. And what these two verses really paint is the distress and anxiety of a soul who really is in search for the favor of God. I mean, he's looking. There's no means that he has not tried. There's no place that he has not explored in order to find the object of his search. Really, this is the true description of a genuine heart that's penitent, that really longs and seeks after God. I went here, I went there, I went left, I went right, and I could not find him, I could not seek him. And it's just the anguish of a soul that's longing for God. And I wonder that when we've been in this situation, if we've gone through the lengths that Job has. Maybe for some of us, we went to the left and forward, but we didn't go backward. We didn't go to the right. And Job says, I did everything. I went forward, backward, left, right. And I find sometimes that when I'm in a stressful situation that I only go one or two different ways. And I don't go the full circle that Job did. And you could tell the Job really, really, really wanted to find the favor of God again. He tried everything. He explored every place. And this really speaks to me and is recognized that, man, I need to have more of this kind of heart. I tend to give up a little too easily in my quest to find the presence of God. And it really helps me to recognize I need to step more into this. And then in verse 10 to 12, speaks of Job's confidence in God. And in his own integrity. In verse 10, it's a great verse. He says, but he knows the way that I take, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Here's another bright flash of faith in generally a very bleak background. Job admitted that he could not get through to God, but yet still clung to the confidence that God was over this crisis. I mean, this sounds like the radical middle, doesn't it? He admits he cannot find God. He could not get through to God, but yet still clings to the confidence that God was still over him and over this crisis. There's a few takes here that he learns. Learn a lot about this, so we'll go through this quickly. He knows the way that I take. So God still observed Job carefully, and he had not forgotten him. He says he knows the way I take. God is aware of this. Then he says, and when he has tried me, Job recognizes that God had a purpose in this crisis, and the purpose was not to punish Job. And then he says, I shall come forth. In other words, God will one day bring the trial to an end. And he'll come forth as gold, and God would bring something good from it all. And then he'll come through as gold. God still valued Job. Only precious metal is put through a fire. And so again, God still observed Job carefully and not forgotten him. He knows the way that I take. He's aware of what's going on. God had a purpose in the crisis, and the purpose was not to punish Job. Because he says, and when he has tried me, so he's there, there's a testing. But he will come forth through this. God would one day bring the trial to an end, and God would bring something good from it all, because he shall come forth as gold. And the whole idea of gold, Job realizes that God still valued him, because only precious metal is put through the fire. He declared with such great conviction that God knew the way that he was taking. He even affirmed his own confidence that God was the one who was trying him, and that presently he would come forth from the process as gold. These are faith statements that he's making in the midst of his trial, and he's going through this. And verse 11 and 12 says, my foot has held fast to his path. This is a dramatic defense of his integrity before his accusing friends. Job declared that he still followed God. He says, I have kept his way, and he has loved his word. I've treasured the words of his mouth even more than food, even more than his grain. And so he's telling his friends, listen, I am still integrous before the Lord. I have walked the path, his path. I have not delineated from his path. I have kept his way. I have treasured his word. He has loved his word even more than he's loved food. And so he's telling his friends, listen, you are wrong. I'm still walking in my integrity, even in the midst of this crisis. God has got something for me in this place. I don't understand what it is. I can't fathom it, but I'm going to be okay. And in fact, you know, if I went to trial, if I went before the judge, the great judge, he will come to my defense. He is so certain about his integrity at this place. And then after this great faith statement, he gets philosophical. And this is the rest, 13 to 17. And Job wonders at God's power and his majesty. In verse 13, he says something very unique in the Old Testament. He uses a word. He says, but he is unique, and who can turn him? Who can change him? Job here argues back with himself, really against this great declaration of faith. And he understood, though he deeply and sincerely trusted in God, at the same time, he could not make God do anything. He is sovereign. He is unique, and no one can change him. He trusted him, but he knew that he could not make God do anything. In verse 14, it says, and he performs what is appointed for me, and many such decrees are with him. Job had to admit that God would do as he pleased in Job's life. And he would not be held hostage to Job's demands. He understood that the reasons and wisdom of God's works are ultimately with him. And they were not known to Job, as they were especially not known to Job's friends. And Job here seemed to come closer and closer to really the place where God wanted him to be in the midst of this crisis. He comes closer and closer to realizing that God can be trusted, and that God does in fact love and care for him, but at the same time he is sovereign, and at least some of his ways are beyond our knowing. He's coming to that conclusion. And then in the end here, verse 15 and 16, he says, therefore, I would be dismayed at his presence. At the end there, and he says, and God has made my heart faint. Knowing what he could know about God made Job appreciate the distance between himself and God. It made him feel a kind of a good and righteous awe of God, even though it felt like a deep darkness, because there wasn't much comfort in that truth for him in this crisis. It seems that Job's strongest assertions of faith seem almost always to be coupled with equally strong assertions of fear and pain. Somehow Job's faith was elastic enough to embrace at the same time both terror and confidence. This reminds of the sermon I gave a couple of weeks ago about the radical middle of friendship and fear. He experienced this terror, but also this confidence that he has with God, the friendship and the fear. And Job is living it out, and Job is just really expressing the elasticity of those two points of friendship and fear, of terror and confidence in God. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. I just want to go back to Job's longing for God. I go forward and backward and left and right, but he's not there. I cannot see him. I've tried everything. I've gone through all different ways to find his presence. And it speaks to me of Psalm 27. And maybe we can meditate on this as we pray today or sing today. This is one thing, this is 27:4, one thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. One thing I've asked. I don't know, if you could only ask one thing of the Lord, what would you ask for? Riches? Would you ask for world peace? I mean, what would you ask for? David asked for the presence of God. David just prayed, one thing I ask, one thing that I seek, that I just would be with you. And that's why David was a man after God's own heart. And this passage really challenges me, because I wonder if that's really my heart, that the one thing that I ask is for the presence of the Lord. And let's meditate on that. Let's just go before the Lord as we sing. And let's have the heart like Job did and like David did, to seek everywhere to find his presence and say, Lord, your presence is all I want today.
Here I am waiting, abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Bring me to my knees. Jesus, more and more. Come live in me, all my life. Take over.
Let's go before the Lord and let's really just present that heart. God, we just want you. Lord, I'm willing to look north and south and east and west to find your presence. Not just relief from crisis, but find the presence. This is really the difference between Job and his friends. Job was in anguish because he couldn't find God in the midst of his crisis. His friends are just concerned about the crisis. And let's pray for that kind of heart today. Even as we wake up early this morning and we're seeking God, say, Lord, the one thing that I ask is just for your presence. Huh? Let's pray today. Let's go to our prayers for our community. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer. I mean, it's such a horrible thing. Let's just pray for God's healing word. Let's pray that the Lord really minister to each one. And you know, each one may be feeling the place of Job where they had this crisis. And let's pray they would find God in the midst of it. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our friends and family that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's lift up our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's ask the Lord to breathe His Spirit over this land. Let's lift up the government, all the different challenges that have been hitting our city during this time. Let's just really pray for godly wisdom. Let's pray for righteousness in the midst of the government. Let's continue to pray against the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival in the churches, that during this pandemic and during these times, that churches would come alive, that people's faith would come alive. Let's lift up our friends ministering here, Sports Services, Shanti, YWAM, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, Mother's Choice, the Korean Church. Pray for students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's really lift up our city. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to empower our staff, to bring us into divine unity, that we would work hard for not only our members, but especially for the Lord. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and barista. Let's pray that the teams would be ready when we are able to gather back together. Pray for hearts that are welcoming and loving. Let's just really look. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and AV teams. Let's pray for the anointing as we seek God in our worship. Let's pray during our online services for the worship teams and the sound and all the equipment that there will be no issues that happen, particularly with the internet and these things. So let's just cover those times. Let's pray for gatherings tonight. Let's lift up EG class. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to really meet with us. The unit this week is on the church. And so let's pray that God would really give us a revelation of His church and our role in His church. And let's just lift up our house churches tonight. Let's ask the Lord to really meet with our leaders, our hosts. Let's pray for First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, House to House, Kowloon, Old Peak Road, Princeton, and Soho. Let's pray for the anointing tonight to come. Let's pray together today. Father, help us to have the heart of David, the heart like Job, to look everywhere, God, to not give up, Lord, to find you, Lord, to seek after you with all of our heart. One thing I've asked, one thing that I shall seek, is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and to meditate in your temple. Lord, in the midst of our crisis, help us to find you, God. To find your purpose in it, to find your love and your care for us, that we would come out as pure gold. I thank you. Would you watch over us? Would you watch over our city, God, today? We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow morning or see you online for our lunchtime prayer today. Take care, guys. Bye.